I just want to say that we are so honored today to have His Eminence Timothy Cardinal Dolan. And I would add to that that someone said a friendship is one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself. For me to have friends like you, Reverend Bernard, Cardinal Dolan, is a great blessing in my life. And I am grateful for you, especially during this painful period. We're a people, Jewish people, we're in pain. And at least when you have those who stand with you and speak up for you, that is reassuring. So thank you. Your Eminence, always a pleasure.
Rabbi Potasnik, thank you for the gracious words, and might I reciprocate them. And to you, my brother and friend, Passover blessings. And Reverend Bernard, you know my esteem for you, friendship and fraternity. And you and I renew to you Paschal Easter blessings in this glorious Easter season.
This is wonderful. When I grow up, I'm going to talk like that, Rabbi. You know I'm working my way.
We'll keep up with your tutorial. Don't worry. So, Your Eminence, you called me from Israel, and at the end of the conversation, you said, I'm praying
hey,
for...
Hey, Reverend Bernard, I called him collect, and it didn't work, so then I had to...
So, at the end of the conversation, you said, look, Joe, I'm praying for you. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, you're facing drones, missiles, bombs, and you're praying for me. And then I see what's going on here, especially on various campuses. We need your prayers. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Talk about that trip to Israel.
You bet I will. I went, you know, this is for none of the three of us. We've been there frequently, thanks be to God. This was not my first trip to Israel. It, God willing, will not be my last. I went kind of officially, Reverend Bernard and Rabbi Potasnik, because one of my duties as Archbishop of New York is to be the chair of something called the Catholic Near East Welfare Association, which is celebrating its 75th anniversary of aid to the tiny beleaguered Christian communities throughout the world. But as you would know, most of them would be located in the ancient biblical lands. And so we try our best to help them. So I kind of went to celebrate our anniversary and to try to give them some encouragement and, yeah, some help. However, I also said, look, I'm not only going over for the Christians. This is a very tough time for our Jewish neighbors, and I need to reach out to them. So it was, I hope, a rather successful choreography of seeing both. I spent a lot of time with the survivors of the October 7th monstrosity, with some of the families of hostages. I was able to have a wonderful Shabbat dinner with a friend of the three of us, Rabbi David Rosen. Mm-hmm. I was able to visit the president of Israel. But then, of course, I spent a lot of time with the Christians, with my brother bishops who were there, with the Orthodox community, with the different ministries, apostolates, charity, education, healthcare efforts that we try our best to vivify in the land called Holy, which, by the way, serves all. There's Jews, there's Christians, and there's Muslims at these different schools and healthcare clinics and all. So that was kind of the purpose of it. Now, all this was planned, brothers, before the October 7th savage assault. So it took on a much more astute meaning this time. And I would have to tell you, first of all, it was a very thorough visit. It was enlightening for me. But I do have to admit to you, and I don't think you'll be surprised, it was very dismal. The worries, the fears, the anxieties, and yes, the anger on both sides of our Israeli people and in the Palestinian community was raw and very evident. Balancing that out would be the balancing out for me were two things. For one, intramurally, kind of seeing the good work that we've been able to do over there. And number two, listening to the people, the regular people. Rabbi Potasnik, I wish you could have been with me when I visited a Palestinian refugee camp in Bethlehem. And this one man spoke and he said, please, when you go back to New York, tell the Jewish people that we do not hate them. And he didn't say we, he said, I do not hate them. I have some worries and some things to speak to them about, but I do not hate them, and I want to live in peace with them, and that's the only way we're gonna settle this. And then when I would meet with, get this, the survivors of October 7th, who would have every rational reason in the world to be filled with vitriol, and to hear these people say, we were working closely with the Palestinians before this horror, and we want to continue to do that, and we will not let this rob us of our dreams to make Israel a land of justice and opportunity for all, including the Palestinians. I was so moved by that. And it struck me, Reverend Bernard and Rabbi Potasnik, that the more I listen to kind of the common folk, the wiser they are, when I would sometimes listen to some of the leaders, I got a little afraid. But heck, I think we see this in our own country, don't you? When you sit at a diner, or if you sit on a bar stool, which I hear sometimes people do, you'll hear wisdom and goodwill. And not all the time, but very often you will. When you sit at a dinner table, when sometimes it's more official, it gets a little tough. I don't know our listeners now. With Rabbi Potasnik and Reverend Bernard and I sit at a table about six times a year around my table at my house behind St. Patrick's for something called the Commission of Religious Leaders, a CORAL. We have talked about very blunt, festering things with always a note of friendship, fraternity, and civility. And that's what I'm talking about, sitting around the table. So there was a lot of darkness. There was a lot of light. There was a lot of, I've been through a lot of places. You remember when I went to Ukraine, when I went to troubled areas. I've never had to go down to a bomb shelter.
Cardinal, how do we get that conciliatory message transmitted to what's happening here? I walk down the street and I see signs. I was at Columbia University the other day. Burn down Tel Aviv. We are all Hamas, right?
We hate America.
Death to America.
Rabbi, great question. And it's especially poignant for the three of us since we're in the business of reconciliation. Now, I just came. I'm up here in Yonkers at our seminary where I just, thank you, I got to leave a priest council meeting early for working on this. And so one of the priests on the council is one of the chaplains at Columbia University. And he gave a little report. And he did speak on some reasons to be alarmed, as you just mentioned, Rabbi Potasnik. He said, there are some real extremes there. There are some real hateful people there. There is some real toxin being spewed out. But he said, I can tell you that the majority of the students with whom I meet, and he meets hundreds a day, either at mass or at table or who would stop by, they say, you know, we just want to learn. We want to be friendly with one another. The best thing we can do as university students is try to study the complexity of the situation in the Mideast, not to be spouting off in front of the cameras and microphone. Once again, I sometimes think I can only speak for myself. I sometimes think I listen too much to the kind of the experts, the leaders, the publicity people. When I listen to the common folks, I get a lot. Let me say this, and Rabbi Bernard, you tell me if I'm right or wrong. I have never heard more thoughtful, perceptive commentary and criticism of some of the situations in Israel than from my Jewish neighbors here in New York. They know there needs to be reform in policies in Israel, just like there needs to be reform here. Are they ever strongly defensive of their beloved country? And rightly so, and I'm with them. But they also can be critics. And that's a good thing, isn't it? That's a good thing. I saw one of the things that frustrated me is more when I met with the Palestinian side, when I would hear the people say, Hamas doesn't speak for us. We want peace. yes, there's injustice. Yes, we want to be blunt in correcting them. Yes, we want to bring those to the attention of Israel. But we want to live at peace, and we want to live in respect, and we do not want to exterminate Israel. And we hate what happened on October 7th. What scared me, Rabbi Potasnik, is when I would say to them, it would help if you said that publicly. Mm-hmm. And they will say, we're scared. We're scared. We're scared. You know what? I think, weren't you telling me, Reverend Bernard, you saw a poster and it said Free Palestine, and somebody had spray painted below it From Hamas. I heard that. And I'm thinking, and I said to them, even Rabbi Potasnik, so I was happy to have a meeting with the president of the Palestinian Authority, Abbas. Mm-hmm. I was privileged to have a meeting with the president of Israel, Mr. Herzog. When President Abbas said to me, we do not hate the Jews. Yes, there are injustices that we feel strongly about, but we know we want to live in peace. And I said, sir, it would help if you would say that. Because you don't hear them say that publicly. Right. I would have to say here in New York, and I don't know about you, Reverend Bernard, if you agree with me or not, I'm proud that I hear Jewish neighbors and friends, including Rabbi Potasnik, who are passionate about their defense of Israel, say, but we're also pro-Palestinian. They want justice. Mm. They want justice for the other side. I'm not putting you on the spot, am I, Rabbi Potasnik?
You can be pro-Israel and pro-Palestinian.
Yes, you can. Yeah. The two are not. Yeah. It's a both-and thing. It's not an either-or. Yeah. And if we got more people to say that, I think we'd be better off. One of the things, the Sunday I was there, fellas, Pope Francis, you know, every Sunday at noon, he appears at the window of his study to pray with the people gathered below and to give a little fervorino. And he spoke about the situation we're speaking about. And when he came to the end, he said, there's three things we ought to all agree on. Number one, bring the hostages home now. Number two, we need a ceasefire. And number three, we need to start disregarding the extremes and listening to the people of reconciliation. Now, both President Herzog and both President Abbas told me they highly appreciated those remarks of the Pope. And I think that kind of captures it. I don't know. Joe, you're closer to the situation. Am I making sense?
Yeah, the only problem I have is when people say ceasefire, we can't go back to
It has to be on both sides.
And you need to surrender.
I mean, you talk about Israel. Israel's saying, yeah, you bet we want a ceasefire, especially with those missiles coming over.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just that attack from Iraq. Northern Israel is being bombarded daily from Hezbollah.
Yeah, but we can't leave Hamas in place.
No.
Yeah, no.
How you get somebody there is another question. Is this the best way to do it? I don't know. But Hamas has got to go.
Place of calling.
I didn't like
calling
it.
Calling me Rabbi Bernard. No.
Well, I'm sorry.
You finally got a promotion.
I hope the three of us are. All right? The man you and I serve, Jesus, was called Rabbi too. So I don't think
I can embrace it with no problem. That's why.
When I saw on the night of the bombing, all right? Now, so we were ushered down to the bomb shelter immediately. By the way, the building I was staying at, which was Notre Dame, a beautiful center for pilgrims, for anybody but heavily Christian, as you might imagine, is empty. There are no pilgrims, which is particularly sobering as Passover was approaching. But as I went down, I kind of snuck out. I shouldn't have done it to a balcony. I said, I want to see some of this. And sure enough, you know, I could see the missiles were coming. Thanks be to God, I saw them blown out of the sky. But I also heard, as the bombs were coming in, the Arab section cheering the bombs. Mm-hmm. Now, that's hideous.
Yeah.
That's hideous. I mean, for one, they were aimed at them. For one of the missiles shot down was going to land on the mosque. All right. So you'd think they would be equally critiquing that as they are with some understanding of Israeli policies. I guess is what I'm saying.
Cardinal, how do we bridge the gap? You've touched on what you and I know and share as Christian. Of course, it's part of Catholic social ethic, and that's subsidiarity. Those who are closest to the problem understand it better. You pointed out the disconnect between those in power and the masses. And what we hear most of all is the rhetoric between those in power. How do we bridge that gap between the two?
Well, let me take it a step further, Reverend Bernard, because you're on something. The closer we get to the people, the closer we get to the grassroots, the better success we have for peace and justice, with stability for both Palestinians and the prosperity and growth and security of Israel. And we need to listen to them. Now, one of the great things I heard, especially more on the side of Israeli leadership, is their fear that this is becoming more and more international. I would have to give, people might criticize President Biden. I appreciate the fact that he's often cautioned that we don't need to extend this beyond. And we all know that Israel has become the punching bag for all the neighbors around. And we all know as well that the Palestinian challenge has become a punching bag for everybody around. And I often wondered if we could get more grassroots local folks, maybe the better off we are. Yeah. I might be terribly juvenile in thinking this way, because maybe things are just too raw. And maybe maybe we do need great people like a George Mitchell's and Henry Kissinger's of the world to rise up and say, let us come in and try to do something. I don't know. And one of the things I said, brothers, is one of the plagues we got here. I should be talking. I'm coming off as one, but there's too many know-it-alls. All these people, whether they be these obnoxious protesters on campus, or our commentators, or some of our politicians, they've got the immediate answer. Here's what we got to do. We got to do it right now, and we got to do it, and everything will be fixed. This has been conflict, violence, tension, Rabbi Potasnik, is nothing new in the land of the Bible, the land that you call the Jewish homeland. It's been going on from the beginning. I think Reverend Bernard and I figure out that's probably why God decided to become incarnate at that most tortured area of the earth, earth, because that's where most we needed to hear the message of peace and reconciliation. It hasn't been sinking in.
You know what's very sad? I remember Abe, even it was the ambassador to the UN, he said, looking back at Palestinians, they've never missed an opportunity to miss an opportunity. I mean, you look at all of the opportunities, the fact that there's still a refugee camp. I mean, we don't have a Jewish refugee camp, because Jews resettled, rebuilt, and started their own, country. Palestinians had that opportunity time after time and rejected it, said no.
Well, let me say two things, one of which I'm agreeing with you, the other one you might not find so satisfying. For one, many of the Jewish people over there said, they keep talking about a two-state solution. They said, we sort of thought we had one with Gaza. Mm-hmm. You take this. Mm-hmm. It's yours. There'll be no Israeli troops there. You run it. And it's they blew it. We saw the answer to that on October 7th. Right. On the other hand, the Palestinians will say, yes, we need to build our own settlements and all, but our homes were taken away from us. We have a home. I don't know if you heard the story. I visited this refugee camp, and the people, they were wearing around their neck keys.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, what's this about? These are the keys to their homes in Jerusalem that they still want to return to. Now, I don't know if that's realistic or not. I worry, and I would posit that there's a certain amount of understanding to that. Whether it's realistic or not, I don't know. But maybe a realism would say, you deserve a home, and we want to get you one. It may not be where I said that too. I got into an argument. I put my foot in my mouth. I said, why don't the other Arab states say, come on in, we'll take you in, like the Israelis have done for Jews around the world, all right? And they'll say, because this is our home. We've been here for centuries, and we don't want to leave. And we wish a way could be found out where we didn't have to. This is the complications of things. It really, I would go home at night with headaches, and who can sleep with air raid sirens? I thought to myself, Rabbi Potasnik and Reverend Bernard, I thought to myself, how do the people of Israel live with this? Mm-hmm. I had a nightmare last night, all right? These people are living this way all the time. One of the things that kind of really, so the day after the attack, which happened to be, the attack came early hours of Sunday morning, our little group is sitting out in front of Notre Dame. Things were as beautiful and calm as could be. We're scared to death. We hadn't slept all night. We're thinking, we ain't going to get home now. If you got to be stuck somewhere, Jerusalem ain't bad. We ain't going to get home because all the flights are canceled. All of a sudden, we're sitting there with a cup of cappuccino, looking out, and the buses are passing filled with people. They're either going to worship, they're going to family, they're going to work. And I looked, I said, look, fellas, these people have to live through this every day. And life goes on. I said, think of the tension they're under, but yet there's a grit about them. And I'm talking about both sides, Israeli and Palestinian. There's a grit that says, we got to keep at it. We can't give up. And I admired that.
Go ahead.
I want to ask both of you a question, Rabbi Potasnik and Cardinal Dolan. Often we think that the Palestinian are monolithic, and we talk about they've had an opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, but they're not monolithic. You have several entities that are offering different solutions to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. You know, Fatah, Hamas, Islamic Jihad. You had the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. You had a democratic solution offered by the Front for the Liberation of Palestine. You had a People's Party, Palestinian People's Party, Palestinian National Initiative. But Hamas seems to have won over all of these other organizations through fear and intimidation. They don't represent all of the Palestinian people. Was that what you found while you were there, Cardinal?
Yeah, you are dead right. You are dead right, Rabbi Bernard. In one way, that's good that there's such a healthy diversity within the Palestinians. We tend to stereotype that they're all cutthroats, and mm-hmm. God knows there's too many of them. But that's not all of them, and there are different groupings. And what I'm amazed in day to day life, so. You know, when I was at Rabbi Rosen's house for Shabbat, his beautiful wife was saying, we do most of our shopping right around here in Jerusalem, and all the shops are owned by Palestinians. And he said, we get along with them fine. It was remarkable to me. So when I went to one of these magnificent clinics, and there were run by the Daughters of Charity, a group of wonderful Catholic sisters jammed with moms and babies. And I said to the sister who was showing me around, I said, sister, would most of these people be Islamic, Christian, or Jews? And she said to me, I don't know, and I don't care. I thought, wow, you talk about insightful. Her job was to heal and to serve. She didn't ask for any citizenship papers. She didn't ask for any passport, okay? She didn't ask for any baptismal certificate or bar mitzvah attestation. She knew they were human beings. Can I share with you, and let me know if you agree. So, you know, one of my buddies there, and I think the two of you know him, and he's highly, highly regarded by both sides, by the Israelis and the Palestinians, is the Latin Rite Patriarch of Jerusalem, Pier Battista Pizzaballa. I always tell him, I said, when you retire, come over here, and I will loan you the money to open up a trattoria, because with a name like that, it's a winner. Yeah. Pier Battista Pizzavalla. Anyway, he's highly respected. You know, Pope, he spent all of his life as a Franciscan in the Holy Land. Pope Francis just named him a cardinal. He's highly regarded. I read his Good Friday sermon, and I said, oh, my gosh, bingo. He says, now, there are those who think all we need is a political situation. He said, we just finished reading The Passion of Jesus, and we saw a political situation when the crowds yelled, give us Barabbas. They wanted a political prisoner. Some people say it's all an economic situation, that a solution. Oh, we got to do this economically. Well, we saw that when Judas sold the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. Some say we need a military solution. Well, we saw that when the Roman soldiers brutally beat, tortured, and crucified Jesus. He said all three of those, political, economic, and military, have to be part of the solution. The only solution, though, all of those have to flow from a common emphasis on the dignity of the human person and the sacredness of human life.
Right.
If we don't recover that, the other three ain't going to work.
You know, it's interesting, though. If you look at history, in the creation of any country, inevitably you have displacement of people. And displacement of people is usually followed by resettlement of people.
Uh-huh.
When it comes to the Middle East, there's no resettlement of Palestinians. They, you know, this refusal.
Yeah.
If it's just a land issue, land issues you can resolve. There can be compromises made if you want to live with the other side. But when it's refusal after refusal, then one wonders, is this really a land issue or is this a life issue where you cannot live with the other side? And that's what we wrestle with.
That is a trepidation, and unfortunately, it's a trepidation well-grounded on what's happened. We know that in our own history. There were a lot of Tories, British citizens, who were aggrieved at the end of the Revolutionary War. They had to go home. Their businesses and their homes, they left, okay? So that does happen, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That does happen. I suppose, Rabbi Potasnik, we could say that happened in 70 AD when Rome leveled Jerusalem and exterminated the Jews and ran them out. Yeah. Other people came in and settled.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And now, so that now then the opposite happened beginning after, am I right in my history here? After the First World War, but especially in 1948 with the establishment of the State of Israel, now we have a safe return. So there's got to be some balance there. I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you would find the Israelis, as they did with Egypt, as they did with Jordan, compromises are made and resolutions are created when you seek to live with your neighbor in peace. If that if that is part of your DNA, then you can find the solution. If it's not, then it's conflict followed by conflict.
Yeah, and
Cardinal knows. Yeah, I was just going to say, Cardinal, you know, I know very, in our faith tradition, those words that we recite every Christmas, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. One translation says, peace on earth amongst men of goodwill. If you don't have goodwill when you come to the table, there's not going to be peace. There's not going to be any type of resolution.
We, you and I, the three of us have spent our life trying to get that message across. And millions of people, thanks be to God, have worked harder than we have. But there seems to be that crust of just resistance to any type of accommodation or compromise that is just exacerbates. It's pouring kerosene on an already a fiery situation. I don't know. I don't know. I don't like what I can't figure out, Rabbi Potasnik. And Reverend Bernard, you hinted at it, that you wanted to talk about this. I would have thought that after October 7th, there kind of would have been a worldwide recognition that there is something to this growing horrific anti-Semitism, and there is something to the viciousness of Hamas. We need to listen to it. even if we are very pro-Palestinian, we need to say, uh-oh, they got a point. Instead, we see this crescendo of anti-Semitism and this irrational protests by these people who ought to know better. The universities that should be leading us in reflective, prudent, sane discussion have now become laboratories of this vitriol.
Right.
This really upsets me.
Yeah. And you have professors joining hands with them. So one student said to me, I'm sitting in class, and the student sitting next to me is out there the following day with a sign that says, death to Israel, death to the Jews. And he's my classmate.
And the professor next to him, probably.
Yeah.
That's what's scary.
We've been saying for years, education is the answer if it's a moral education. Because we saw what educated people did during the Holocaust, building those camps, creating the Nuremberg Laws. You need a moral education. Your Eminence, we've come to the end of the segment, unfortunately.
No.
We're going to tell Katzimatidis, cancel
the
next
We're not finished with the cardinal here. Are you kidding me?
You know, Your Eminence, it's
well,
just...
Well, listen, I get longer time with Cindy Adams than with you two. This is hard.
You know, Your Eminence, we are prisoners of hope, as we say. And it is written, when there's peace amongst the religions, there will be finally peace in the world. I think we've made progress there amongst the religions. We still have a lot of work to do.
Well, and let me say this, notwithstanding the unfortunately accurate and sobering remarks we made about some of the behavior on campus, aren't the three of us extraordinarily grateful for New York, where we do, I don't know how many cities in the world could have a program like this. I don't know many cities of the world where we're living next door to each other and appreciate and respect each other. I don't know many cities of the world where the archbishop of the city is invited, gets about 15 invitations to the Passover supper, one of which did not come from Rabbi Potastic anyway.
Well, I paid for your call. I paid for your call from Israel. How much more can I spend it? The limit. Anyway, thank you so much, and always.
Thank you, guys. Keep up the good work.
You are a blessing to all.
I always leave inspired. You're on. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.